Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jesus Stories, the podcast which tells the stories of Jesus. And in our current season, we spend some extra time talking about the implications of each of these stories. What do they really mean for us in our lives? I'm your storyteller, George Taylor. I'm also your teacher. So last week, we spent some time listening to an encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, one of Israel's leading teachers and leaders. And as Jesus' reputation grew, questions were arising about the nature of his ministry. And while many religious leaders were opposing Jesus, Nicodemus was different. He wanted to know more. So, in the middle of the night, he went to see Jesus. Their conversation is recorded for us in the book of John, chapter 3, if you want to look it up. This conversation covers a lot of ground. Nicodemus comes with questions, and probably left with even more questions, because, as Jesus does, he has answers to share with Nicodemus, answers which challenged him, and to a degree can be challenging for us too. So today I want to get into some of those challenges. But first, I must remind you that Jesus' story comes your way because you support us with your prayers and your money. Thank you for that. Have you joined us yet? If not, won't you consider and pray about how you should help us out? You can find out how to help us by visiting our website. It's jesusstories.info. That's jesusstories.info. Click on the Support This Podcast tab and find out how to pray for us or how to make a monetary contribution, both one time as well as ongoing. At the website, you can also leave comments for us. Click on the Talk to Us tab for the links which connect back to me. The website is jesusstories.info. That's jesusstories.info. And I thank you in advance for your support. I want to address two different ideas that were presented in last week's podcast. The first is the concept of being born again. The second is the statement by Jesus that he has come down from heaven. I think that understanding these two ideas are key to understanding Jesus' presence and our need for him. So at the very beginning of the conversation, we heard these words. Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. If you live in the West, you have no doubt heard the phrase, born again. I told you in last week's podcast that the idea of being born again is something that does have several interpretations. This week, I want to share my thoughts on that concept. Let's start with the fact that Jesus is speaking in spiritual terms, not physical terms. However, the physical does help us to understand the spiritual. When we are born, it is a beginning. It's the beginning of a new life here on this earth. And yes, we're born from the water. Like I said, it's a new beginning. Jesus is telling us that the same thing must happen for a spiritual birth, and that without that spiritual birth, we, quote, cannot see the kingdom of God, end of quote. The spiritual birth, however, is a birth of water and the Spirit. We talked about the Spirit last week. I'm not going to rehash that explanation. please go back and listen to the prior podcast if you're confused about that term. Let me stress that this spiritual birth is both of spirit and water. These two are paired in several places in the scriptures. We've already seen one at Jesus' baptism. Jesus was immersed into the water, and as he rose out of the water, the Spirit of God came down to him in the form of a dove. The same pairing occurs in the story of the beginning of the church in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Now, at that time, there was visible evidence of God's Spirit on the followers of Jesus. This occurs in the middle of the Passover festival of the Jewish people who have gathered in Jerusalem. There are people there from all over the region. The followers of Jesus begin telling everyone of the wonderful things that God has done. And while these followers are all from Galilee, the people from all over the world hear these Jesus stories in their own languages. Yes, they told Jesus stories in the first century too. Languages, by the way, which these Galileans would not have known how to speak. One of those followers, Peter, stood up and shouts out to the crowd, reminding the people that this was a fulfillment of a prophecy from long ago. Peter tells the crowd about Jesus, his life, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and he reminds them that they were the ones who crucified this man from God. Well, the people hearing these words were convicted of their actions. The scriptures tell us Peter's words pierced their hearts to the point that they asked him and the other followers of Jesus, "What do we do?" The scriptures pick up the story there, and here I quote, "Peter replied, 'Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God.'" Do you see the pairing there? Peter calls for the people to be immersed in water, to be baptized, and they will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, a birth of water and spirit. Not only that, but their sins, their violations of the laws which Jehovah God has given to them, would be forgiven. Because of this sermon, 3,000 people were baptized. They were born again of the water and the Spirit. Now let's fast forward to one of the letters from the Apostle Paul, written to an early Christian church in Rome. He wrote to remind them of the gospel, the good news, which they had accepted. He reminds them that everyone needs the gospel because all of us are sinners, violators of Jehovah God's law. However, the grace of Jehovah God is greater than any of our sins. If we've accepted that grace by being born again of the water and the Spirit, we have an obligation to live new lives after our birth. Paul illustrates it this way. When we were baptized, our old life is now dead. The life is buried in the water. That old life is buried in the water. Then we come up out of the water with a new life. We are born again of water and the Spirit. Think of it this way. When we're physically born, our lives change dramatically. We're once safe and snug in our mother's wombs, only to be pushed out into a world that is totally different from the one we have known. Being reborn is the same way. One commentary says, we are now living a new life in a new land. Paul compares this to the death of Jesus and his subsequent rebirth, his resurrection as a resurrected man. You can check out episodes 45 and 46 from season 1 to hear about those events. But being born again comes with responsibilities. Paul wrote it this way, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, the Spirit, now we may also live new lives." Now, having said all of that, may I now summarize? Being born again of the water and the Spirit is Jesus' direct calling for his followers to be baptized, to be immersed in water, and to come out of the water as a new man or woman, gifted with the Spirit of Jehovah God living in us and helping us to live the new life to which we are called. Note that Jesus was baptized before he even started his ministry. If it was important to him, it should be important, no, mandatory, for anyone who follows Jesus. Then Jesus made another statement that I think we need to examine closely. He says, "No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven." 3 verses later, he adds, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." The Son of Man came down from heaven. Who is this Son of Man? Well, Jesus is talking about himself. This is one of several names that will be used for him throughout the stories of his life. So Jesus is saying that he came down from heaven. Heaven is usually thought to be the home of Jehovah God. And even if you're not a believer in Jehovah God per se, you've probably generally thought of heaven as a place where the gods would live. That perception of heaven as the home of Jehovah God is, I think, totally correct. Jesus is saying that he came from heaven to earth. Then he backs that up by saying he is sent as a gift from God. So, is there an instance where we see a God coming down from heaven? I don't know of one that's real, perhaps. Perhaps we see it in legends or in stories, but not in reality, except for Jesus. Jesus is saying that he has come from heaven to earth. Usually, in most of the faiths that I have studied, man is attempting to get up to a deity. But here is Jehovah God coming down to you and me in the form of Jesus Christ. If I were going to make up a religion, I wouldn't have thought of that. Would you? Don't we as human beings want to try to climb up to a God? Perhaps we think we will improve ourselves in this effort. Perhaps we will become as good as that deity. Perhaps. Jesus is, however, reversing this thinking entirely. He says he has come down from heaven. He is a gift from his Father, Jehovah God. All the Father asks of you and me is to believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of Jehovah God. That entitles us to an eternal spiritual life. If we truly believe, we'll follow Jesus into the waters of baptism so that the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of Jehovah God's Holy Spirit will aid us in living this new life. We will indeed be born again. Now that's our look at the 2 points of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. We'll preview the next episode in just a moment. Let me remind you that these podcasts do come your way because of the support you offer to us, both in prayers and in money. Thank you for that help. If you're not supporting us, I would encourage you to consider and pray about what your role might be in helping us out. To get more details, visit the website. JesusStories.info. Click on the Support This Podcast tab. That's JesusStories.info. And don't forget, your comments are always welcome. Again, the website, JesusStories.info. Click on the Talk to Us tab. I love seeing your comments. On our next episode, Jesus and his followers go back out to the countryside of Judea and the Jordan River. We see some competition between the disciples of Jesus and the disciples of John the Baptist. Then we eavesdrop on a conversation between Jesus and a woman that he should not have been talking to at all. Shame on you. Well, not really. That's our next Jesus Stories episode. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time.
Oh, my heart, every word. sweet is that air?